Well, good morning, everybody. Hey, y'all didn't want to do a couple more songs, huh? Wait, the rest of the service would have been fine. You know, praise God. It's a funny thing. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm just like, can we just hit replay on Thursday night, you know? I mean, you know, that's something, you know, I mean, a lot of things I had to say then, you know, but now I'm like, oh my gosh. But praise the Lord. You know, there's been this, I'll be going to Hebrews, but one of the things is that, you know, I mentioned the children of Israel like a lot up here. And that is such an example of the place where we are at. And yet it's an example of what we can do where we're at. For the opportunity that is before us now is now. You know, you had the first generation, they had that opportunity and they fell because of unbelief. You know, but we don't have to follow that same example, but rather follow the example of the second generation that entered into the promised land. And one of the things is that with the Lord is able to move mightily, mightily in our lives, and He has moved mightily in our lives, and He showed Himself to us. He has proven Himself to be trustworthy and faithful in all things. Yet we still give way too much ground to the enemy. Yet we don't grab a hold of that gospel in the way we ought and be free in Him. Yet we always have that tendency to cleave to those things that try to pull us, drag us down, and put us back into bondage. And the Lord hasn't called us to be in bondage, but in freedom. I mean, He set us free. I was reading in Hebrews where He tasted death for every man. That second death. He paid the price for us. And His power works mightily in our lives today and has worked mightily in our lives. And it's a beautiful thing. You know, I want to go to Hebrews a little bit because I want to talk about a verse in there that has kind of struck me when I was reading through it. And it was interesting, Lisa went to Hebrews 4. But this one was in Hebrews 2 and I was reading in Hebrews 3, I think that same morning. There was a lot of points in there that kind of struck me. And I just want to read in Hebrews 2, chapter 2, verse 1. It says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And I just want to stop right there. Because I was talking Thursday night, one of the things that I was talking about there on Thursday night was, I was kind of using Lisa as an example, as growth that has happened with her. And that she has grown in the Lord, not because she's special, not because she's came from any different area than we have came from. Okay, but no, she took heed unto the counsel that was given to her. And the counsel that was given to her was not direct. The Lord had somebody over her, given her counsel. But yet she humbled herself and heard the words of those counsels and sought it out. Now, does she walk in that perfectly? No. There's a few times I'm sure she had to say, repent and turn back into that council yet again. Amen. And I've got Lisa sitting there testifying to the case. Amen. But it's an interesting thing how easily we reject and we don't take heed unto the things that we hear. I mean, the Lord has given us all things to go forward in Him to do His will. But yet, how many times do we really take heed to it? How many times do we actually believe it? But rather reject it. Because one, of our own pride more than anything. Because we think with our own carnal mind that we have, we just know more. We're smarter than. We cleave sometimes to our own understanding, or we cleave to the counsel of the world, but don't cleave unto the counsel which the Lord has given us. You know, what does the world teach you? The world teaches you, take care of number one. You. What does the Lord say? Cast all your care upon me. Oh my gosh, what a difference. What more of a relief? I tell you, when I try to take care of number one, me, I almost got myself killed. I hear you. I hear you. But it almost got myself killed. But yet when I turned and I casted my care upon Him, it was an amazing thing of what He has done. And has turned my worst mistakes, into a blessing. Now see, only the Lord can do that. Only the Lord can do that. And when I talk about taking heed and taking the heed unto the counsel that is given to you, recognizing that you put your faith not in the person that He has given you to, but you put your faith in Jesus Christ and what He is able to do. What He is able to do. Understanding the way that the Lord works. And yet so many of us, when we hear yet His counsel, and Lord, give me a sign. Lord, I need an answer. Lord, I need an answer. Lord, I need an answer. And He sends somebody by and gives you an answer. And no, and you reject that answer. And yet, Lord, give me an answer. Lord, give me the answer. Lord, give me an answer. And yet, He sends another person by, and yet you reject that answer. You pray again, Lord, give me the answer. Give me an answer. And the Lord sends you by and He gives you an answer, and then yet you reject the answer again. And then thing falls apart, things go to shambles, and then you look up and say, why this happened to me, Lord? What have You done to us? Did You bring us out here to die? You know, how many times have we done that? Too many. So this scripture is taken telling us, look, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Take heed to what the Word says. Take heed to what your disciples guide you in. Putting your faith not in them, but in Jesus and how He works. And watch Him move mightily. Above you can ask or think. Isn't that our testimony? Hasn't everybody here been touched by the Lord in their lives? Hasn't He showed up for us just like He showed up to the Israelites, the children of Israel? Thank you. Amen. Amen. He has. In a mighty way. And He's shown us that He's faithful and He's trustworthy. Are we yet going to put our trust in Him? Or are we going to put it in ourselves or in other things that just don't matter and it's going to let you down? See, look, He came down to what? Set the captives free. Not to be bound by the things of this earth. Not to be bound by our own carnal self, which is the one that we struggle with the most, isn't it? He set us free from those things. And I want to go, you know, I'm going to go to the Hebrews 3. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to Him that appointed Him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence, the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Had that big word if in there. But one thing it is was that this shows how faithful Christ Jesus is. See, Moses was faithful. He carried that out which the Lord had him carry out as a servant unto the people. But what did Christ do? He was faithful and He always did the will of His Father. And what did He come to do? He came and He served others. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. And then He laid down His life and paid the price for all of our sins that we don't have to remain captive in them anymore, but free. And He was faithful to His Father all the way up to the obedience of the death, all the way up to the cross for us. And then He shows us the here and the now by His power and by what He has done, the here and the now, how faithful He was to us in our lives. And turning over our worst choices and turning them upside down for His glory. And reached down and touched our lives personally. Now that's one faithful God. That is one awesome God. Amen? Awesome. I'm going to go back to 6. But Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence, the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Hanging on to Jesus and what He has done for us and what He is able to do. It's funny, He says, whose house we are. We're called to be His body. He's the one that set us free to be partakers of what He has for us. But we have free will. We have free will. We can partake in that which the Lord has given us, or we can reject what the Lord has given us. It's all up to us what we want to do. I tell you what, when I had rejected, because I have, when I have rejected being partakers of what He has to do, it turned out pretty ugly for me. But when I had turned, His hand was open out, and He performed that abundantly above I can ask or think. And that hand is out to each and every single one of us here right now. You know, I don't care what you have done in the past, what you've done in the past weeks, the past months, past years. Right now is opportunity for you to partake of what He has done and the life that He has given. Right now. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. There's that word, take heed. That means listening to it, believing it, doing it. I mean, what it was the testimony of Abraham. Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. You know what was the proof of him believing God? He obeyed God. He obeyed God. He was sure of God's promise. He didn't sway one way or the other. The point of offering up his son, he held nothing back. Knowing that the promise was through his son, that God would have to raise him from the dead. That's how much you believe God. Are we going to believe God in the same way? And I can tell you the example of that very thing. And you can examine yourself and to see if you do that by simply, do you take heed unto what the Lord has told you to do? Do you take heed to the counsel that the Lord has given you to hear? Or do you reject it? Or do you take it and then judge it to see if it's right or not? I mean, that's the thing. That's what it comes down to, isn't it? It's really shown through our actions. As Abraham believed, it was shown through his action. And God said, now I know. Now I know that you believe me. Man, that wasn't exact words. I have to look it up. But it's the same way. I mean, we can say we believe till we're blue in the face. But until we start actually doing what He says in faith in Him, what does it profit? Nothing. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Exhort one another. How many of us here have struggled with this right here? Unbelief. I know I have. I know I have. And it's a funny thing, so I give a phone call. You know, I call Polly. I call Steve. I talk to him. Man, I am struggling. Man, I got this going on. I got that going on. Man, I am struggling. And what does he do? He gives me what? Counsel. And he says, and he turns and he points to the gospel. And he points to what the Lord's able to do. And then the direction of what would the Lord would have me do. And then there's my choice. There's my choice. Am I going to take heed to that? Am I going to take heed to it? Am I going to believe it, take heed to it, having faith in the Lord and what He's able to do? Or am I going to reject it and stay in the same place? See, the choice is up to me. Choice is up to you. I had asked. The Lord had provided. If I don't take what the Lord has provided, whose fault is that? That's not anybody's fault but my own. I mean, what else hasn't done to provide us to go forward in what He has us to do? He's given us freedom. Reconnected to us, to Him. Out of bondage from this flesh. We don't have to listen to it anymore. He's given us His Spirit. He's given us His Word. He's given us people in the church. He gives gifts unto the church. Apostles, prophets. Some apostles, some prophets. Some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. He's given us disciplers. He has not left us alone without knowing what we have to do. Hasn't left us alone. But has given us all things to go forward in. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? See, the first generation, they didn't grab it. They didn't go to the promised land. Because of unbelief. They constantly was putting the motive on the Lord that He brought them out there to die. And after He showed His power, He delivered them from the freedom of the bondage from Egypt. He destroyed Egypt. He rained bread from heaven. A rock that followed them, that gave them water all the time. He gave them the direction to go in. He gave them everything they needed to go forward in the faith in Him. The same as He did with us. The same as He does with us right now. Right now. And to whom swear that they should not enter into His rest, but them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. And I tell you, our opportunities now. And the Lord has provided us a way to go forward in Him. Let's not reject that. Let's not lean on our own understanding. That seems like the biggest killer, isn't it? We see what's going on with our own carnal, natural eyes. We hear what's going on with our own carnal, natural ears. And yet then we try to discern it with our own intellect and our own understanding. But that's absolute opposite what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, trust in the Lord and lean not on thine own understanding. Let me tell you, the report when they went to go take the promised land, they sent out, I don't know how many spies it was, but this was a promised land. This was a land that the Lord promised unto the children of Israel. I think 12 went out. 10 came back and said, there are giants. See, when they came back and they said they were giants, they were leaning on their own understanding. They were seeing with their own carnal eyes. They were hearing with their own carnal ears. And saw that they were giants and it was impossible for them to take it down. And guess what? It was impossible for them to take it down, but it was something that the Lord was going to do, not them. Okay, but the other two, Joshua and Caleb, they came back. And see, the people took heed to the first 10 spies. But when Joshua and Caleb came back, they said, oh man, this is for our taking. A land flowing with milk and honey. It's a gorgeous land. And they trusted in the promise of God that it was going to be given to them. And guess what? Out of that first generation, the only two that entered into that promised land was Joshua and Caleb that believed Jesus and the promise of God. So are you going to be? Which one are you going to be? What side of the fence are you going to fall on? Are you going to be the one that believes what the Lord has done for you and the promises that He has given to you? Are we going to fall into unbelief? And I don't care if you've fallen in unbelief to this point right now. Repent and turn back unto Him and see His mighty hand move. I tell you, I was one that turned back to unbelief and turned back to unbelief and turned back to unbelief. And yet, but when I turned back unto Him, it was always above I can ask or think. And there's no reason why me or anybody else should not enter in. Because He's good. And He will show up.
When it comes to the fence, I'd rather be standing than falling on one side or another. Just saying. Sitting there contemplating as Philip was talking about the natural state of man. And the truth of the matter is our natural state is one of seeking self-justification, blaming God and other people for anything that doesn't go like we think it ought to be going. As I was sitting back here and thinking, you know, growing up in America in the 20th century and listening to the voices that were out there, you would think that America's great sin against humanity was and yet still is slavery. But you know what? Every time slavery is talked about in the Bible, it's not that the Lord doesn't take the same sort of offense to it that mankind, especially over the last 200 or 300 years, has been taken was reading in Timothy. Let me go to Timothy briefly. 1 Timothy 6. And there's other places. There's Colossians, there's Ephesians, and more. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Well, you would think that growing up in the last 100 years in the United States, that God's great offense at slavery would be rebel against that evil master and get your freedom. But when Paul describes his relationship with Jesus Christ, he does that of a slave, a bond slave, somebody who's sold himself into slavery. You can't understand that while you're boldly stiff-necked running around putting your freedom on the your salvation for you is not necessarily freedom. And this idea of who you're going to pay heed to. You know, we've been paying heed to a lot of voices that aren't speaking the truth. If you're following after those, it says in Hebrews 14:1-14, the verse before where Philip started reading, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Well, the guys they're talking about were, yeah. But the enemy's got people out there that are ministering to your default position, which is to seek to justify yourself and blame God. And that gives you an evil heart of unbelief. And you can't receive anything from the Lord. That's why you have to pay heed. Most earnest heed to things which you've heard. I was looking back in Matthew. Matthew says, in many places, you have heard it said, but I say unto you. Well, who was it that was saying that? That was the Pharisees ministering the traditions of men. They weren't even administering the law of God. And in that, they were binding people up with stuff that wasn't going to deliver salvation to them. The prayer is that we not fall after the same example as the children of Israel, because they sought to justify themselves, blame God, and were comfortable in their slavery. And that's the way, apart from Jesus Christ, man is comfortable in slavery, complaining about it, justifying himself and blaming somebody else, blaming God. I find that attitude keeps creeping up, and you know, you gotta put that stuff off. You don't have to listen to that stuff. That's the enemy trying to kill, steal, and destroy. In league with your carnal man, your flesh, it wants to justify itself and rule you. And in league with the enemy, drag your butt to hell. There have been enough people, enough ministers have been sent your way, ministering for those who can be heirs of salvation. There's no reason for you to be sitting in ignorance and responding with rebellion and longing for that time when everything was taken care of for you in slavery. It's one of the things that the government today is in absolutely a no-lose proposition. As the government keeps doing more things to remove accountability for your actions from you and promising more and more to a public that's more than willing to receive, but in the same set of actions, they're selectively enforcing laws, selectively not enforcing laws. So if that impacts negatively on your existence or your freedom or your wealth or your property, tough. The only thing government's really good at is taking care of itself. It has no heart to take for the people to take care of the people. The people are happy to be servants to a master who'll take care of them. And the government, the people will get the government their heart is after. But there's worse things than either being a master or a slave. Being, for instance, a Pharisee who knew who Jesus was and who was convincing about the business of convincing the people that he was not who he said he was. That he was indeed a criminal because he didn't follow their law. And it wasn't even the law, it was their tradition. The great offense was he didn't listen to the elders and their traditions. And if you listened to him long enough, you'd be set free from that. And then you wouldn't need him anymore. Self-justification. Blame somebody else. Now walk around feeling pretty good about yourself. Until the axe falls. When the axe fell on the children of Israel, how many of them fell in the desert? All of them eventually fell, except for Caleb and Joshua. And I can see how they came back received too. They came back received. Let's go take it. They're senile. They're 80. Come on, man. They don't. That's, I can just see the kind of things that were said about them. But they were the only two that had the vision of God's provision and His delivery for them. His deliverance of them into a land that, not where they were servants, but where they were owners and partakers of an inheritance of a land that was theirs. It was for them from the Lord. And everybody else in the desert missed that. They missed. Don't be someone who pursues self-justification and blames other people for failing to see and hear the words and the testimony of the ministers of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Receive of that. receive of the inheritance set aside for the people who receive Jesus Christ. Love God. Love one another. I'm done.